Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Anna Sale, in for Brian Lehrer. Last week on the show, we talked about how in some circles, 30 is the new 21, meaning some young adults are spending their 20s financially supported by their parents and don't hit the traditional markers of adulthood like marriage and kids until they're closer to 30. But for foster kids who age out of the system, there's often no family to fall back on for support or advice. A recent article in City Limits profiled an agency called You Gotta Believe, which facilitates adoptions between families and young adults to help smooth the transition. Sometimes these are legal adoptions. Sometimes they're more informal arrangements. Here to tell us more about this is the executive director of You Gotta Believe, Susan Grunberg, and Yolanda Perry, who was recently adopted. Hi, Susan. Hi, Yolanda. Welcome to WNYC.
Hello.
So, Susan, what usually happens to teens or young adults in New York when they grow up and are phased out of the foster care system?
Well, what usually happens, at least or nearly 1,000 young people age out of foster care just in New York City every year. This is a statistic that really hasn't gotten better, despite the fact that so many fewer young people are in foster care. They age out with very little in the way of resources. Many have no connections. They've lost connections with their birth families or anyone else, and they have not been connected to a new family. So the odds of homelessness or incarceration just for survival are very, very high.
Yolanda, you entered the foster care system when you were 15,
yes.
Right? And how old are you now?
22.
Tell me about what it was like when you were 15 years old, thinking about how many years do I have left of being in foster care and wondering about what was going to happen after that?
Okay. Well, it was a little difficult because each birthday I wasn't happy because I knew I was getting older. And the system always had this, like, fear. Well, once you get 21, you're on your own. You're an adult. You gotta know how to do everything. You got to pay your bills. You got to live by yourself. You got to do everything on your own. So each birthday, 16, it was like, oh, my God, I'm getting older. 17, 18, 21. It was just like my 20. When I turned 20, I was like, oh, my God, next year I'm going to be 21. I was like, that whole year I was not happy.
Huh.
I was like, I'm going to age out. Like, what am I going to do? Like, I'm not ready to grow up. I'm not ready. Like,
you need more help.
Yeah.
Like a lot of young adults. Now tell me what happened in your case. When you were in your late teens, you got hooked up with You Gotta Believe, right?
Yes.
So tell me about that.
Well, when one of my group homes was shutting down, my roommate, she was 20, and she was getting adopted by my mom now. And when the group home was shutting down, I had a little trouble dealing with it because I really liked it, that group home. So they sent me away to a hospital. And when I came back, they sent me to another place that was, like, a little locked down. So my roommate and her mom she was adopted with, you know, they realized, and so I was like, oh, my God, like, that's really bad. They not, you know, clearly she's upset, you know. And they offered me to come live with them and join the family. And I was like, okay, you know, like, I wasn't really knowing what I was saying okay to. But I'm like, okay. So, I moved in and everything just changed. Like, it took a while to move in because I was a little, not really looking forward to it moving mm-hmm. in. I was like, a family, what is this? You know, I was supposed to stay in the system until I was 21. So moving in with her, everything changed. I didn't have so much worries, but I still had in my head, oh, once I turn 21, you know, things is going to be different. But in my case, when I turned 21, she was still there for me. I didn't, like, have to move out. I didn't have to worry about it. But I was still inside. I was just like, I'm going to be 21. Everything is going to stop. Like, I didn't really know what was going to happen.
And then it didn't stop.
It didn't. Like, I'm 22 now, and I'm still living at home, and it's, I'm not so stressed out as I thought I would be. Like, I don't have to pay bills. I don't have to, like, seriously work, you know? So it's just like, I have time to, you know, grow up and be supported.
Susan, you use the term adoption. Mm-hmm. So what, how does an adoption of an adult work? I mean, what is the obligation? Is it financial? Is it housing? Or how does it work? How are these structured?
Adoption is a legal term, obviously, but we also use the term moral adoption, which just means that we have a parent who's making an unconditional lifetime commitment to a young person, whether they're eligible to be legally adopted or not. Anyone can consent to their own adoption after 18. That doesn't even mean they have to be living with you, or, you know, it's a very symbolic, and it's important for legal reasons, you know, healthcare decisions, inheritance, those kinds of things. But it's really, it's very important symbolically. But many, many of our young people choose, are afraid of being adopted, or they're reluctant to be adopted because they've been hurt so many times. And they may choose once they're in their mid-20s that they want to actually be legally adopted. And that happens actually to many of our families.
So you said unconditional lifetime commitment. Who are these foster parents that adopted young adults?
They are actually quite a diverse group. People come because they have they're connected to a particular young person. The best thing to do when you have a young person who's in care, the first thing we want to do is always try to look in their own network. Many times people have never connected them back to people who were important in their life. Maybe they had a foster parent when they were 10 who loved them completely, but they were returned home and came back into care, and no one ever looked them up again. Many times they have family on the paternal side that was never contacted. And sometimes it's birth family. Sometimes it's connecting them with birth family and their prior connections, as well as a new family who will continue to support them throughout their life.
And you have some foster kids as well.
I do.
Adults?
Adults.
And tell me about that choice for you.
It wasn't actually a choice that I thought I was going to make at that moment, but I happened to meet a young man who I just connected with. And he actually chose me. And so how can you say no to that? But I guess one thing that you got to believe, though, we don't really use the term foster ever, because that implies temporary. And so when people come to our training, we tell them this isn't about fostering. This is about learning to be a parent and making a commitment to whatever child comes to you. And there are only two options. They go home to birth family, or they stay with you, or they do both. But there is no giving them back the same way that you would never give back a birth child.
Hmm. Yolanda, so you've been in your current family for about 2 years, right?
No, since I was 17.
Since you were 17.
Yes.
Okay. So you said that what's been nice is that you've been able to have some stability. You haven't had to worry about paying the bills. You've been in school, right?
Yes, I have been. And because of the stability that my mom has given me, I was able to finish high school. I was able to get my associate's degree. I'm able to work towards my bachelor's. It's a big difference because when I was in my group home, they didn't really check to see if we was going to school. You know, they'll open your door, okay, they left for school. And I would be in my closet because I didn't want to go to class. And they wouldn't know. So, but when I moved in with my mom, I couldn't do that. Like, the first time I tried not to go to school, I tried to stay in bed. She came in and she sat down. She's like, "You're going to have to get up." I was like, "No, not really." So she picked up one of my textbooks and she just started reading it. She said, "If you're not going to go to school, I'm going to teach you." So then I was like, "You know what? Okay, I'm going.
School's better than this."
Yeah. So, like, and the group only wanted to do that, like, even when I went to college, there was my friends, like, who had to leave because, oh, I have to work. Like, I have bills to pay, you know? And I'm just like, what? Why not? Why school? Like, if you go to school, you finish, you can get a better job than what you have now. So, like, I'm so grateful because my mom, like, her main thing is school. You don't have to work. School is your main thing. You get a job on the side. But you need to do school. Like, that's the main thing.
Yolanda, I wonder, I started the segment by talking about how there's so much conversation now about the changing nature of young adulthood in America, that young adults are staying with their families longer, living at home because of that, because of the difficulty of paying your own rent in this job market. Mm-hmm. I mean, I wonder, what do you think about that conversation? Do you feel like an adult now, or what did it feel like to say, you know what, I need a parent. I'm a 20-year-old woman, but I need a parent.
I don't feel like an adult. Like, once I turned 21, I knew I wasn't ready. I'm not even ready now, you know? I'm working towards being independent, but it's not such a big thing where I have to be it, like, right now, because I'm 21, you know? It has to happen. So, I mean, the difference from not being able to have someone there for you at being 21 or older, and happen to have, you know, nothing. Like, I'm so grateful because I don't need to work. You know, I have a job, but it's not as, you know, something big.
You have a stable home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm able to do what I have to do and things on the side.
Susan, in 2011, the Administration of Children's Services was sued by Lawyers for Children and the Legal Aid Society and said it wasn't properly preparing mm-hmm. young adults for release from the system, which was leading to homelessness. While the agency didn't admit any wrongdoing, it did adjust its services to help young adults apply for housing. So what's your assessment of how the foster care system in New York, how it's preparing kids to be adults?
That's a great question. It's tricky because all of these things, these supports, housing, education, jobs, if you talk to most caseworkers in the system, they feel like that is their main goal when they're working with young people about to age out. We see that as really, and those are very important things. But as Yolanda is saying, you learn these things in the context of relationship and in the context of family. Mm-hmm. And these are things that you're taught kind of organically, or the most of America is taught organically. And so learning these kinds of things and in a workshop is not, you know, the most effective way to grow up. You know, the one goal that people have, that young people have when they enter foster care, is to get out of foster care. And so the concentration on all of the independent living services is really a recognition that the system has failed. Because they should be having a family to help them with all of these things and not need workshops and housing and all of that. So I guess what you got to believe, our mission is to try to take a step back from that and try to hook kids up with family that will help support them through all of that throughout their life.
All right. We need to go quickly, but Yolanda, you said you're starting to study for your bachelor's. What are you going to be studying and where?
Criminal justice at John Jay.
All right.
That's what I'm going to be doing.
Well, best of luck to you. Thank you for coming in and telling
Thank
your story
you.
To us. Yolanda Perry and Susan Grunberg, who is the executive director of You Gotta Believe. Thanks so much for joining us at WNYC.
Thank you.
Bye.
After the break, we'll talk about the Midtown East rezoning proposal, how it's changed, and what it would look like if it went into effect. I'm Anna Sale, in for Brian Laird.